Welcome to Local Talk Monday on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. Thank you for listening. I am Pat Schlarbaum, your host for the hour, with woman of the world, Anna Magnuson. Hi, Anna.
Hi, Pat.
Anna, let's kick off this autumn membership drive with some of your thoughts on this 15th day of November 2021. And why KHOI Community Radio is important to you.
Well, it's important to me for this very show, and that I get to spend time every morning to learn about what's going on in the community and spend time with you and the Local Talk team. And we've got Cornelia Flora waiting in the wings. And so I learn about what's going on in our community, and that would not be possible if it were not for KHOI. So it definitely has a special place in my heart, KHOI.
Yeah, spread the good words. Yeah, thank you for that. And Cornelia, how are you?
I am fine, and I love listening to KHOI. I hear really good programs that talk about important things that affect people and the planet and what's happening locally, and that is really, really exciting. So, good way to start the day.
Isn't it? Is there anything that stands out here in the recent memory of a story that kind of touched your heart or made you feel empowered?
Well, I agree with Anna that things, when I learn about what we're doing locally, particularly within the city and the county, to keep us all safe, to keep our whole ecosystem safe, to keep our wild friends safe, that is really inspiring.
And we really appreciate Susan Guiazda's coordination with all the city staff, and she'll be on later in the week. Yeah, what a powerful voice and coordination role that Susan Guiazda provides Local Talk a lot of the days each week. So we'll get back to some of this, but please go to the website. If this appeal for funding is touching your heart, go to the heart of Iowa, khoifm.org, and find that yellow donate button and become a member, or give us a call at 515-292-2878. Give us a call and become a member, or later on we're going to be talking about all the things that KHOI does provide and how our sustaining membership is what we're really striving for. We all need sustenance. And this community radio station is a good way to start the day. Thank you, Cornelia. Thank you, Anna, for your thoughts. The weather will be a bit warmer today with a high of 55 and a low of 37 tonight and back into the 60s tomorrow. But we better enjoy it while it lasts, because it's going to be back in the 40s for the rest of the week with no precipitation in the immediate forecast for this coming week. So we can be thankful for that. Later in the hour, we'll welcoming Liz Zerker with Story County Community Foundation, and State Representative Ross Wilburn will join us. But let's welcome Dennis Hart, who works so wonderfully at gathering the news for this week from around Iowa.
Another tentative contract agreement in the John Deere strike. The number of coronavirus cases keeps going up. More Iowans than ever are drinking themselves to death. And a new Des Moines Register poll pits Joe Biden versus Donald Trump again. All that made big news around the state last week. First, the Deere strike. The John Deere Company and the United Auto Workers Union agreed to a third potential contract late Friday night. The two sides reached agreement that includes what's called modest modifications over the most recently rejected contract offer. Union members will vote on the contract this coming Wednesday. A UAW spokesman said this is Deere's last, best, and final offer. About 10,000 union members in Iowa, Kansas, and Illinois have been on strike against Deere since October 14th. Workers have rejected two previous contract offers. The last one would have raised wages by 10% and boosted retirement benefits. Now, the coronavirus. The number of virus cases in Iowa continued its upward trend last week. This past Friday, the State Department of Health reported 8,047 new cases. That brought the state's total to more than 500,000 Iowans who have tested positive for the virus since the pandemic started. Increases in cases in Johnson, Dubuque, and rural counties were fueling the new uptick in cases. The state's 14-day positivity rate climbed from 8.9% to 9.2%. The state also reported 97 more deaths from the coronavirus, bringing the total number of residents who have died from it to 7,166. On Friday, 487 Iowans were hospitalized with the coronavirus, down from 524 last Wednesday. More than 75% of them were not vaccinated. Meanwhile, Governor Reynolds encouraged parents of children between the ages of 5 and 11 who are now eligible for the coronavirus vaccine to talk to their pediatricians about it. She stopped short of recommending outright that children get the vaccine, as she has encouraged adults to do. At the same time last week, there was word that Iowa had joined a coalition of 10 states challenging a new rule by President Biden's administration requiring millions of healthcare workers to be vaccinated against the coronavirus. That lawsuit follows similar suits filed by Republican-led states against Biden's vaccine requirements for federal contractors and businesses with more than 100 workers. Also last week, the latest in a series of new Des Moines Register MediaCom Iowa polls came out, this one pitting President Biden against a possible opponent in the 2024 election. That opponent is Donald Trump. And the poll showed that if the election were held today, Trump would easily defeat Biden in Iowa, 51-40%. Still in the world of politics, Iowa Democratic 3rd Congressional District incumbent Cindy Axne decided last week she would seek re-election in that district and not run for governor next year. That news came just days after Iowa Republican Congresswoman Marionette Miller Meeks announced she would run for re-election in the newly redrawn 1st Congressional District. In other news last week, word that prosecutors had filed formal murder charges against two Fairfield High School teens accused of killing a high school Spanish teacher. Willard Noble Chaden Miller and Jeremy Everett Goodale, both 16 years old, are accused of killing 66-year-old Noema Graber on November 2nd. There was also word that more Iowans than ever drank themselves to death last year. A new state report showed that alcohol-related deaths in Iowa jumped 26% in 2020 to 836. This as the coronavirus pandemic forced many people into isolation, caused job losses, and led to increased anxiety and depression. The state also saw a record number of overdose deaths from opioids and stimulants, 369 such deaths, up 18% over the previous year. And there was word that the Iowa State Patrol trooper who had died last month in a crash had swerved to avoid a deer while he was speeding to respond to a call. 37-year-old Ted Benda of Decorah crashed on Highway 51 north of Postville. In other news last week, word that a man serving a 25-year prison sentence for rigging computers to win lottery jackpots for himself, friends, and family is suing the state of Iowa. Eddie Tipton claims he was pressured 4 years ago to plead guilty to crimes he did not commit. There was also word that Iowa's former Human Services Director said he rejected a plan to run sexual arousal experiments on Iowans living in an institution for people with severe disabilities. Jerry Foxhoven, who was ousted by Governor Reynolds in 2019, filed court papers in which he recounted that when he was director, he was adamant that such research not be done at the Glenwood Resource Center. In Saydell this past Friday, the high school was closed because it did not have enough staff to open. 16 staff members said they would not come to work at Saydell High. The closure there was the first of its kind in recent memory. Meanwhile, last week, the Des Moines Register reported that Iowa stood to gain about $5 billion in new roads and bridges, broadband, and water infrastructure improvements following approval by the U.S. House of Representatives of a sweeping infrastructure spending bill. The bill was supported by Iowa Republican U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley when it was passed earlier by the Senate and by Democratic 3rd Congressional District Representative Cindy Axne. More than $3 billion of that money will go for highway repairs in Iowa. There was also word that Iowa farmers had received a record $83 million in federal money from conservation programs to help cope with recent natural disasters. Also last week, word that after decades of operation, the Bondurant grain elevator will close next fall. It's a victim of age, damage from last year's derecho windstorm, and pressure from the fast-growing city around it. And the grain elevator in Altoona will also close. In another story, word that officials of the company hired to conduct a review of security failures in Iowa's prison system did not disclose some details about the organization's past, including a lawsuit accusing it of bribery. Iowa rules require companies bidding on contracts to disclose information about adverse events, including lawsuits, against them. But CGL companies did not disclose a $750,000 settlement in 2018 of a Mississippi Attorney General's lawsuit alleging racketeering by CGL subsidiary CGL Facility Management. Also last week, word that staff and students in Iowa's three public universities had seen a survey about the state of free speech in their inboxes. It's the first survey of its kind being administered at the behest of the Iowa Board of Regents Free Speech Committee, which was convened last year in response to what Board of Regents President Michael Richards called disturbing incidents and trends at the universities. And it comes after months of discussion by state regents and lawmakers about free speech on campus. There was also a report that concerns had been shared by parents at school board meetings across the Des Moines metro in recent weeks over their children being exposed to LGBTQ content in library books. In Waukee, Urbandale, and Ankeny, parents have taken issue with several books that they say are not appropriate for their children. They say the books are pornographic and obscene. In other news last week, word that for the second year in a row, malls and most major national retailers in the Des Moines metro will be closed all day on Thanksgiving. Merle Hay, Southridge and Valley West Malls, Jordan Creek Town Center, and the outlets of Des Moines will all be closed on Thanksgiving. That's a reversal of what had been a trend before the coronavirus pandemic to give shoppers a head start on the eve of Black Friday. Target, Walmart, Best Buy, and Kohl's already had announced plans to remain closed on Thanksgiving Day. There was also news that Amazon Air, the air cargo carrier for Amazon, began daily cargo service last week at Des Moines International Airport. The airport leased more than 8,000 square feet of an existing facility and more than 32,000 square feet of adjacent tarmac and other storage areas to an Amazon contractor that will operate the cargo hub. The number of jobs created at the hub was not made public. Sad news to report on a number of fronts last week. First, word that the director of Iowa's Department of Human Services for 16 years had died. Charles Palmer was 82. He first served in the position from 1989 to 1999, then returned in 2011 at the request of then-Governor Terry Branstad. Among other things, Palmer oversaw the reorganization of the state's mental health services from a county-by-county hodgepodge into a system coordinated by 14 regional authorities. He also led the transition to having private companies administer Iowa's giant Medicaid health care program. There was also word that Iowa State University agricultural law and economics professor Neil Harl had died at the age of 88. Harl was widely known for having pushed for bankruptcy reforms during the 1980s farm crisis in an effort to slow the demise of family farms, and he was known for leading the unsuccessful fight to block the sale of ISU's WOI-TV in the late 1990s. And there was word that a former Des Moines Register features writer who had helped found the Register's annual Great Bicycle Ride across Iowa had also died. John Karras was 91 years old. He and fellow Register columnist Donald Call put together the idea for RagBri in 1973. It is now the oldest, biggest, and longest recreational bicycle touring event in the world. Speaking of the world, in the world of college football, Iowa style this past Saturday, Iowa State University lost to Texas Tech 41-38. The University of Iowa defeated Minnesota 27-22. And the University of Northern Iowa lost to Missouri State 34-27. And that is your summary of quite a week of news from all around Iowa. I'm Dennis Hart, saying goodbye for now, but promising to say hello again tonight, live at 7, when Laura Bellin and I will show up on Capitol Week on KHOI to chew over what's been making political news around the state. Then I'll pay a return visit to the same virtual seat on Local Talk on Friday morning at 7, when I'll have news from around Ames. Between now and all that, I hope you have a great week.
Well, I dreamed I saw the knights in armor come, saying something about a queen. There were peasants singing and drummers drumming. The archers split the tree. There was a fanfare blowing to the sun that floated on the breeze. Look at Mother Nature on the run in the 20th century. With the full moon in my eye, I was hoping for a replacement when the sun burst through the sky, there was a band playing in my head, and I felt like getting high. Thinking about what a friend had said, I was hoping it was a lie. Thinking about what a friend had said, hoping it was a lie. Silver spaceships flying in the yellow haze of the sun. There were children crying and colors flying all around the chosen ones. All in a dream, all in a dream, the loading had begun. Flying Mother Nature's silver sea to a new home in the sun. Flying Mother Nature's silver sea to a new home.
Thank you, Dennis Hart, with your Week in the News. And the music interlude was After the Gold Rush in honor of Neil Young's 76th birthday over the weekend. A live version from Farm Aid Concert in 1998. So, Mike Murphy, what is it about Neil Young's music that you find appealing?
Well, really, I think the operative word would be heart. I mean, everything is genuine. I was at Farm Aid in 2011 and got to go to a press conference that the participants held, you know, was Neil Young and Willie Nelson and Dave Matthews and several other people, John Fogerty and Jim Hightower was moderating it. And when he introduced Neil Young, you know, he gave that Oscar Wilde quote that you should be yourself because everybody else is already taken. And he said, nobody is more themselves than Neil Young. And I think that resonates true. There's an authenticity there.
And a genuineness.
Right, exactly.
And I think that's what a lot of us volunteers are striving for here at KHUI. We show up, we try to share what's in our backgrounds and what's in our hearts and try to make that appealing to as many people as possible, and realizing that we do take feedback from the community. This is, without the community, we're not a community radio station.
So that's right.
At any opportunity. Cornelia, does this sort of country rock music appeal to you, or what's your favorite music?
Well, it generally depends on what I'm listening to. I love Neil Young. I think that's really good. Last night, we heard a wonderful Zoomed conference concert by the Ames Piano Quartet, and they were fantastic. So just a whole range of music. And I think that's what I like about KHOI, is I get that range from really good country music to incredible classical music. We have so many good local hosts who pick good songs for us to hear.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. Yeah, and that the concert series, just covering those, is quite a community service. We're not getting around like we used to, so I guess we've had to rely on community radio even that much more. If people, if this message is resonating with people, really, you should go to our website, khoifm.org, and learn how to become a member and learn how $60 a year is our basic membership. But learn how to kind of view the contributions that Community Radio is placing here in the community, and then just trying to prorate that out. It seems like a lot of people get started, and then it's not long before they start realizing the value of community radio and how to increase that in a commensurate manner. Anna Magnuson is here also and nodding in the background. Did you grow up listening to country rock there in Indianola, South Central Iowa?
Well, I did grow up in the 80s, and in 1985 when Farm Aid was started, I certainly was connected to the farm crisis. So my dad was working for the Iowa Farmers Union, and my mom was working for a farm crisis hotline. And so music brings people together to be able to, might know the issues that are happening, but there's something magical about music that brings people together for either if you're connected to being a country fan or to a cause. And I think that's what KHOI does too, is that it connects us through music and our conversations and our interviews to be able to figure out how do we work together to make our community better. And that is what KHOI does. As we learn and listen through the music and interviews, we're inspired to be and informed about how we can be connected to what's going on in our own community. So that's why, and one of the many reasons why I like to support our community radio station with my time and my talent and treasure, because it's something that I believe in at the very heart of who we are here, Ames Story County.
How about that? Tom Russell's All Things Piano a lot of times follows our local talk programming at 9 a.m. each day. What a breadth of music character that gentleman brings to the community airwaves.
Well, that's the other thing that KHOI does, too. So before, I always said that when I moved to Ames in 2018, I didn't know anybody. And then at KHOI, I was at where I work at the Annex and the Lincoln Way in Sheldon. And I look at someone who's, like, tuning the piano at the church building. I'm like, I know that person. And, of course, it was Tom Russell. And I would not have known him had it not been for KHOI, and was able to share with him that I can play Jingle Bells barely on the piano and the Donkey Song horribly, but I am always appreciative of listening to All Things Piano. And Tom, actually, I was his pitch partner on my first experience with KHOI, and just to learn more about Tom, he has extraordinary talent and passion for All Things Piano. So another reason to listen and support KHOI, right, Pat?
Oh, it's there are so many opportunities. From Bob Anders, the Bob's 8-track stereo garage sale, you know, where you're going to make a visit down memory lane, guaranteed, with his program. But he has a wonderful selection of 8-track tapes that people are donating, and just to hear put them out on the airwaves one new refreshing time is by going to the website khoifm.org and hit that play button. You're going to hear a lot of information, but you're going to hear some of the best music that people can generate either live or from the archives. And Mike Murphy's Be Remiss Not to Mention You Name It, that's becoming one of my favorite destinations at making sure I got time at 2 p.m. on Thursday afternoon. So this gentleman has relocated here from Kansas City and has kind of chosen Ames as a community he wants to embrace and give something back. And boy, does You Name It gives a lot back, Mike Murphy.
Well, thank you, Pat. Yeah, I appreciate that. I really enjoy doing it. It's a lot of fun. It's a good outlet for me. And yeah, I appreciate all the kind words people say, including you.
Well, but see, there's a lot of genuineness there, too.
Yeah.
Because I think it's your breath, because you'll take a topic, whether there's a little bit of phonology in your work, I seem to have noticed. And that phonology's kind of become one of our little brands here for local talk on occasion. Do we like to plug in what's happening in the wild world? But you plug us in what's happening in the music world and who's who's celebrating an anniversary, or like some of that John Lennon music that you played. Give us a little synopsis of what was going on in your mind to have a John Lennon program.
Well, last year, there were two milestones in John Lennon annals. One being it was the 40th anniversary of his assassination, but it was also his 80th birthday. And so I had that was an excuse to have two John Lennon programs, yeah. one in October and one in December. And, yeah, what an inspiration, and what someone who used his fame to further the causes of peace and love and justice, but still just something you just love to hear, just great soothing to the ears as well.
And we're going to play a phonology here about Sandhill Cranes. I'm going to get back to an upcoming concert that's going to be at C.Y. Stevens with Susan Werner. Don't want to forget that in the next break. But if you want to learn more about music that's happening, go to the website khoifm.org and go from there, become a member, hit that donate button, or give us a call here at 515-292-2878. But let's talk about phonology. And just like our fall membership drives come in a certain time of the year, we are beginning to welcome many of our winged ones returning to central Iowa. Birds like trumpeter swans and short-eared owls, rough-legged hawks, the snowbirds like juncos and hornlarks and snow bunnings, they return, and their phonologies have become a part of everyday life here at the station. Just like community radio, we come to you this time of year as a part of our station phonology. So please do not hesitate to go to the website khoifm.org and find the yellow donate button and become a member. You'll be glad you did. And us volunteers at KHOI Community Radio will have your back to ensure you get everything a community radio station can provide. Let's learn about Sandhill Cranes. Phonology is recording nature's happenings when they occur. The first firefly of spring or the last osprey of autumn are noted in a journal for future reference and comparisons from year to year. And as Lee Searles writes, phonology is the study of natural cycles in their lives of living animals and plants. Today's focus on phonology is Iowa's sandhill cranes in autumn. More and more Iowans are hearing new sounds emanating from our wetland marshes. Sandhill cranes also provide an animated display of leaping and calling that occurs whenever cranes congregate. Even in autumn, these marsh dancers provide a fascinating show. After a 98-year absence, sandhill cranes once again began nesting in 1992 at Otter Creek Marsh on the Iowa River, just east of Tama. This year, four additional counties have included sandhill cranes in Wright, Hamilton, Howard, and Johnson counties. Cranes have now nested in 26 counties that include the Chautauqua Wildlife Area to our southeast in Polk County and at Anderson Lake in Hamilton County just to our north. Pioneering pairs nesting in Iowa are spilling over from the Wisconsin crane flock. Cranes stand 4 to 5 feet tall and weigh about 14 pounds. Our cranes are greater sandhill cranes, which are slightly different than the lesser sandhill cranes that gather by the hundreds of thousands near Kearney, Nebraska each spring. In autumn, cranes leave their nesting marshes and begin congregating at only selected locations, like Otter Creek, to our east in Tama County. At first light of dawn, cranes leave their overnight locations to fly beyond the horizon. They look for secluded areas with waste grain to feed upon. Cranes like our corn. At midday, their return flights to the marsh are quite vocal and awe-inspiring. Their 6-foot wingspans and tight flight formations create a measured excitement with each passing group. A few autumns ago, while constructing a wildlife viewing platform overlooking the marsh,
The crane's midday return provided continuous enjoyment as wave upon wave of 5 to 7 at a time were flying overhead. Eventually, over 130 had been counted. When they land, their bugling calling continues as they joyously leap about. It creates quite a rousing ruckus in the tempered autumn colors of the marsh. So join the fun and leap on over to Otter Creek Marsh to enjoy nature's orchestrations and dazzling dances. Hopefully you'll be serenaded by primal calling of the wild that hearkens an era when thousands of wetlands pocketed the plains. The presence of sandhill cranes, trumpeter swans, Canada geese, and a myriad of wetland waterfowl and wildlife have become welcome additions to Iowa's landscape. They enhance our spirits with hope, and they elevate the quality of all our lives. The marsh dancers are worth it. Try to share the experience with children and friends sometime soon. And that's our phenology for today.
And this is Pat Schlarbaum with KHOI Community Radio, 89.1 FM, Story City, Ames. Become a member or find the donate button at khoifm.org.
Without a little barley cold.
And it's 7:33 in the morning, and we have Cornelia Flora here. Cornelia, you have an upcoming event you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yes, on Thursday at 7 p.m., I'm going to be giving a talk at the Ames Public Library, sponsored by the League of Women Voters. It's going to be about empowering women worldwide. And I'm thrilled to have this opportunity because I've worked with women's groups for many, many years in the U.S., all of North America, Latin America a great deal, and Africa and Asia as well. So it's going to be wonderful to have a chance to share empowering women. And the sort of the takeaways are women are best empowered collectively, and women are generally already in groups. They may be kinship groups. They may be religious groups. They may be village groups. But building on the women's groups that already exist and the things that interest them are very important.
Mm-hmm.
And women generally are empowered when they work for others. Many of the most important land defenders, water defenders, are women and women's groups. So natural capital is really important. Also, they work on trying to do things that are good for their children, good for their village, and good for each other.
Mm-hmm.
So by empowering women, we don't just mean getting women in high office. We mean getting women working together for positive change.
Wonderful. Yeah. And once again, the date and time?
It is the 18th of November, Thursday, at 7 p.m. at the Ames Public Library.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. And thank you for that empowering message, because we have some wonderful guests here. Liz Zerker has joined us. Hi, Liz.
Good morning, Pat. How are you this morning?
I love the power of Zoom to bring our lives together like this. And you've brought a guest also.
I have brought Jennifer Dieter. She is the vice chairperson of our advisory board. She is also the chairperson of our grant-making committee, and they have been busy the last couple months.
Well, welcome, Jennifer. Yeah,
thank you.
Good morning, and let's learn more about your Story County Community Foundation.
Every year in October and November, we award grants to the Story County nonprofit community. And we had quite a few this year. We had a little bit more money, which was wonderful because, you know, we always run out of money. Every program that we received an application from was very worthy of funding. So we had a lot of great applications. We had some first-time applicants, which was nice. And we were able to award some more larger grants this year.
Great. I'm glad.
Oh, it's exciting. Yeah, we awarded three major grants. One to Mary Greeley Medical Center for their Third Way project, one for the Bridge Home, and then they're trying to renovate a drop-in shelter for people who might need just a very short stay until they determine a better placement. And then also the Nevada Fieldhouse project to help build an indoor play area in that facility, which is just awesome. We're super excited about those awards. Those were all $25,000 grants. So that was very exciting. Mm-hmm. And then we also awarded several community grants. I think we ended up with 14 community grants. Is that right, Liz?
That's correct.
And those went to a variety of projects throughout Story County, and those amounts were up to $6,000. I'll just highlight a couple of them because I don't know that we can hit them all or have time for all of them. One was a Harmony Clothing Closet makeover project in Nevada. So that was a neat project. They're trying to redo or repair and renovate a building where they have a clothing and houseware project for people who might need things. And so that's a super exciting project. We were able to, one of our major ones that I should highlight is our Susie Sheerholtz award-winning project, which is the 500 Days Smart Start for Story County Readers. And that's in conjunction with Raising Readers in Story County. But they have a 500-day program where they're trying to really boost children's language and the words that they hear in those first 500 days of life, which has been shown to have a drastic impact on their literacy overall.
Oh, that's just wonderful.
We also gave, looking through, there are so many great ones. The Food Bank of Iowa, we wanted to help focus on hunger in our community. And so we gave money towards them to have food pantries in school buildings to help allow to give us extra food for those children that might not have access to that. One in the outdoor area or kind of physical fitness and exercise, we gave to a trail development in Gilbert where they're going to extend a trail between a neighborhood. And again, that gets the different part of the community and it gets people outside and gives access to exercise. So we felt like that was a great project.
You really have a broad base of outreach. So the trail in Gilbert, was that a nature trail? Or
it's more just a walking trail, but I think it goes kind of through some prairie land too. So it connects another two trails that join. So it's kind of a connector trail between those to give people access, I think, further down to Ada Hayden Park and through more of the from Gilbert all the way down. So,
well, Liz Zerker, that's quite an array of outreach. Your program really touches a lot of hearts.
You know, it sure does. And again, we received 41 grant applications, and they were all wonderful. Every single one of them was fantastic. You know, Pat, to give you a little bit of perspective, we put a letter of intent out for our major grants. And when we put that letter of intent out, we received 17 letters of intent. We had three go forward. But of those 17, that was $488,000 of asks. So the community need is there for this program. And the 41 that we received for the community grants, that was almost $300,000. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, there's a huge need in our community. We're filling a very small part of that. But, you know, as Jennifer said, we like programs that, you know, we have a few that we're getting off the ground here. They're pilot projects. That's wonderful. We've got a couple that we're helping bring home. They're almost at the finish line. So, you know, our $6,000 or $25,000 have helped with that. And then smaller ones like the Ballard Community Performing Arts. You know, the kids were lugging these huge portable, they weren't portable, their music stands onto buses. and they were having to do some alternate transportation because of these huge music stands that they have. Well, for $1,200, the kids could get portable music stands and not have that barrier to getting to their performances. So, you know, just little things like that even can make a big difference.
Well, and particularly the pilot programs, as those individuals want to spread the word about what the funding has provided. Of course, that's a real natural for KHOI Community Radio. I hope all those recipients keep us in mind to kind of generate more interest and hopefully more dollars in the future.
Absolutely. Hopefully next year we'll have even more money and we can do even more grants. We did three or four more this year than we were able to do last year. So that's even better.
Oh, and we've got a couple more minutes. So is there any closing thoughts there, Jennifer or Liz?
Well, I think the key thing this year for us was the three major grants. It was super exciting to be. We've only in the past, usually we have just given one. Several years ago, we did give two and then fund part of a second one. So this year, to be able to give three major grants to projects that we thought were really important in our community was awesome. Great projects that we felt really good about. There wasn't any, you know, weren't any that we looked at and said, they did such a great job with their applications. And I think they will, all of those combined will work together to make Story County even stronger and better than it is already.
And Liz, closing thoughts, what were those three once again?
It was the Third Way Project by Mary Greeley, the drop-in 911 shelter for the Bridge Home, and then the Nevada Fieldhouse Project to build an indoor playground there.
Okay. Okay, Liz?
Pat, and Nevada just broke ground for their big project last week. So if you didn't see that in the paper or notice that, the Nevada Fieldhouse did break ground last week. So that's very exciting for them.
It sure is. These are just great messages that KHOI Community Radio can assist you in getting the word out about all the great work that you're doing. Thank you so much, Jennifer Dieter and Liz Zerker. We'll sure look forward to having you on again in the future. Thank you. Let's welcome Ross Wilburn, the head of the Iowa Democratic Party, and Aaron Moynihan. Welcome to Local Talk.
Morning, Pat. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we sure can. Yeah?
Good.
So, Pat, would you mind if I just kicked off the conversation for a second?
Of course.
This is Anna.
Anna Banana.
So,
yeah.
So usually I do a heart-to-heart message, and I just wanted to start this off with something that I found to start the conversation. And this was from a woman named Denise, who talks about her experience being a public servant. And she wrote a poem about her service as a public servant. And she wrote, "The poem has joy and soft edges, and it has sorrow and rough places. That's honest because sometimes public service is delightful and satisfying, and sometimes it is really, really difficult. Telling the truth about the positive and the challenging on these days as public servants support each other and then return to their jobs." I'm just going to read a little bit to kick it off. And the poem is called My Public Service. "I am a public servant. My work is meaningful. It is purposeful, satisfying, and needed. My work is meaningful. It is challenging and complex, but cathartic and completely rewarding. My work is meaningful. It is important for the safety of all people in Iowa. My work serves others and helps me learn about myself, too. I am a public servant. My work is transparent and meaningful, although my work is important, although meaningful to the public. My work can be difficult and challenging." And so I won't read the rest of it, but I just wanted to open that conversation with a reminder that those who choose to serve the public are heroes, and they are brave, and they are trying to do the best to be able to make our communities great. And so that's just how I wanted to open this conversation.
Very good. Yeah. Representative Wilburn, what is it about leading the Democratic Party here in Iowa that has brought you the most gratification?
Well, you know, Anna, that reading that you did was very apropos, I think, and very meaningful, because what really drives me in terms of serving the public as chair of the Democratic Party, as well as representing Ames, is viewing it as public service and trying to improve the community, whether that's a neighborhood here in Ames, Story County, or the state of Iowa. And so when I am out traveling around the state, in fact, yesterday I was in Johnson County, Bremer County, Blackhawk County, and then stopped in Poweshiek County to visit some folks there for a trial that is going on. It's that connection and listening and trying to help support the positives and trying to figure out other ways policy-wise that we can eliminate the negatives.
Oh, wonderful. And recently I read an editorial that you had included in the Des Moines Register that was very succinct, to the point. But I understand you had some pushback from that writing. So maybe if you could give the listeners a little bit of on what the message was and then the reaction to that.
Absolutely. So thinking back, it was Saturday, October 9th. That was the same day that Donald Trump held a rally here in Iowa. And I received the first of two voicemail messages from a restricted number. The first voicemail ended with a threat that included a reference to lynching. The second voicemail contained explicit language. Both used the N-word multiple times, but in the second call, no threat of violence was made. Then on Monday, the following Monday, I received an email to my legislative account that didn't include a specific threat of violence, but it did include more racist language. And both the voicemails and the email mentioned my writing about former President Trump and made specific references to my comments regarding Trump's actions on January 6th. So I did file a complaint with the Ames Police Department, and I'm very grateful to our law enforcement for taking that threat seriously.
And it seemed from some of your follow-up remarks, you just thought, I need to speak out about this. I don't need to just disregard this type of verbal abuse. What compelled you to say, this time I'm not, this cannot go unaddressed?
Yes, and you're correct. It's not the first time, both as a public official as well as just an individual, that I've received, you know, some type of aggressive, hateful language. Not the first time, and unfortunately, you know, I know it won't be the last. But any reference to lynching or hanging you know, that has deep-seated pain, and it's reality about some of the history in our country towards blacks, towards African Americans. And I think the other piece of motivation was all the aggressiveness and anger and hate that has been happening at school board meetings, school board forums, debates, city council meetings, not just here in Story County, but across the country. And I just felt, you know, I have to file this complaint. One, because you don't know what this person, you know, these people are going to do. And they've shown that they're going to take aggressive, violent acts, culminating in January 6th in Washington, D.C., the insurrection. But if my coming forward and both letting folks know who are, whether they're elected, running for office, or someone who's serving in a public capacity through appointed office, that it's important that you not accept this as normal. It's not normal. It's not okay. Mm-hmm. And I think the other reason was to encourage those of us in the state, in our community, who don't want this type of behavior going on towards anyone, that we can't be bystanders. We have to speak up and say this is not okay if you're at some type of public meeting and people are, you know, towards school board candidates or members saying, we know where you live, we're going to stalk you. We have to say enough is enough, and that's not okay. We can't make it comfortable for them to continue that type of behavior.
I guess our silence could almost be evaluated as complicity, then, is kind of what I'm hearing you say.
That, and if the only voices that young people in this country hear are voices of hate, if that's the only voice they hear, then we have no hope of trying to turn the tide and have positive relationships, and no hope of recognizing the differences that we have amongst us, regardless of those differences, that we can and must get along for our communities to thrive and each other to thrive.
It's a very powerful message here for community radio as we try to expand our listening that come in and tune into the station. And their diversity is critical to the success of this radio station, quite frankly, and a success of any political party. How do you view this in a future lens? Where should we be on this topic 20 years from now, do you feel?
Hopefully more voices will come out against this type of behavior and treatment of each other, that if we are allowed to talk about diversity in a positive way and to educate the next generation, then, you know, hopefully this will be few and far between, but that there are consequences for folks to do that. But, you know, in order for that to happen, I mentioned education, we've got to be able to have certain conversations. And whether that's in school, our communities of faith, with our neighbors, to lift each other up. And policy goes directly to government. And in my op-ed, I posed the question to Iowa Republicans, will they stand with Iowans as we fight for our American values? Or will they continue to be held hostage by a man who has complete disregard for our law? And, you know, some of the bills about limiting education, about diversity that came through the legislature that Governor Reynolds signed, even, you know, Senator Grassley took an oath to support and defend the Constitution, but his actions, including voting against the bipartisan commission looking into the insurrection, show that he's willing to put party over country. And so that was kind of the impetus behind the op-ed that I did. But, you know, looking forward, Republican leaders have to hold each other accountable.
Yes, Anna, go ahead.
So my question for you, Representative Wilburn, is that we might have very different opinions and ideas and values, but what is your advice? And I would say in particular for young people, when you disagree with somebody, an op-ed or their political platform, how would you suggest that we engage in civil discourse about these differences?
If you don't like an op-ed that someone writes, write your own op-ed. Go on to a radio station. You know, if it's someone that you know, or if it is a public official, write them a letter just saying, you know, here's how I disagree. You don't need to get into name calling. You don't need to threaten that individual or their families. In particular, you know, family and friends, if someone steps forward to run for public office, they did that, and their family are there to support them, but don't take any anger or frustration out on those around the individual or individuals who step forward to run. But just know that it's not okay. You know, I know with social media and things that several people say you can type what you want, but don't hit send. Mm-hmm. Think what you want, but, you know, you can't lash out in a way that is threatening individuals, their safety, and it really makes the community unsafe when you do that.
Yeah, so do no harm. So we can have, you can disagree. I think that's okay. But it is not okay to be able to threaten or to cause harm, basically.
Right.
And so for young people, I think it's like there are many you get very passionate when you disagree with somebody. And Thanksgiving is coming up, and I'm sure there will be many passionate family discussions around Thanksgiving dinner when the turkey's being passed and politics come up. But the thing is I think that manners go a long way, and just knowing that being respectful and just asking questions is probably the better way to engage in discussion about differences. That's just my opinion. I mean, turkey versus ham, we don't need to fight about it. Let's just talk about it.
Mm-hmm. You know, the point you bring up, though, Anna, about conversations happening around the Thanksgiving table for those who celebrate it, in a lot of ways, people choose not to discuss whether it's politics or religion, faith. And, you know, maybe that's something that needs to change, too. But do it in a safe way. And like you said, agree to disagree.
Okay. Wonderful. Any closing thoughts, sir, Representative Wilburn? That was a great thought to leave us with.
I better stop right there, then.
We're running up against the hour. But thank you so much for your public service.
I was just going to say, so many messages of support came here in Story County, but from Maine, Florida, Washington, and I appreciate that. Unfortunately, I do get some of the others, but thank you, everybody.
Well, thank you so much. Our theme song here at Local Talk, as always, is Backtracking by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other artists you heard was Neil Young, After the Gold Rush, and a little bit of Expecting to Fly. Happy 76th birthday, Neil Young. Keep us in mind here at KHOYFM.org to become a member. This is the start of our fall membership drive. Let's do what we can to strengthen KHOI. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again on the radio.